Woo!
I had the privilege to be on the road up and down. Late nights, parties, kissing the girls, and making them cry. With the horsemen, you guys, as far as I'm concerned, are no horsemen. That is disrespectful to me and this wrestling business. Mirror, mirror on the wall. Who is the fairest of them all? Why ain't you, Nature Boy? Not that pissant Jay Lethal.
Hey!
That's right. Come on,
duck
brothers.
Tears.
Let's see what you got.
You can
Let's
throw.
See your Rolex. Let's see what you got.
You
Come
can
on.
Throw all your
Come
clothes
on.
Away, Rick.
Come on. Let's
throw
see what you
away.
Got.
You want to see something?
Yeah.
Let me show you something.
I want to see it.
So my friend's got one shoe on,
you
by the way.
You want to see it?
Yeah.
You want to see it?
Yeah.
Watch this.
He is driving Fred nuts.
Right there is the greatest
thing you can't
ever see.
You can't be me. You can't do me. And I'm cutting you off right now.
You're cutting
You're
me
cut off.
Off.
Yeah.
You don't cut me off.
Woo!
Hey, don't you start that with me.
Woo!
Woo! Don't you be upset.
Limousine riding, jet flying, kids stealing, wheeling dealing, son of a gun. Kiss any woman right here, even that fat one, and make her cry.
Big man, don't get me wrong. Don't you be upset because they tore old Space Mountain down. Don't be upset. But hey, because of Slick Rick,
oldest ride, oldest ride, longest line. Woo! Woo!
Well, Rick. Thanks to me, Space Mountain.
See what you got, man. Let's see what you got.
There's the other shoe drop.
You don't want to bet.
This is insane.
You want
Come
to
on,
see
bring
something?
It.
You don't want to come to the ring right now.
Woo!
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 Woo! Welcome everybody to Juice Pro Wrestling episode 24, Return of Impact. With me today is Juice himself, which is myself, and Chicago comedian Jeff Webb. How you doing? He's back for more. How you feeling today, Jeff?
Woo-tastic.
Oh yeah.
Woo. Woo. Woo.
You guys
just
listen
do that to the whole time. Just every time you want to fucking say anything, just woo over you since we're talking about Impact.
Yeah, just woo me over.
Yeah, sure. I want you to get to where you're talking about something really serious.
Yes.
And then just woo all over your ass.
Like suicide?
Yeah, exactly.
It's super serious.
Woo!
for you guys, fuck, we're losing it here, drinking his old style. Just wrapped up a Eazy-E episode of Musically Meditated with myself and Mike Barth. Shout out to Joe Riley for that. That was a great episode. Today, what we're here to discuss, and I kind of had this revelation. I've kind of been wanting to do this for a long time. And Jeff, we had you on episode 23 talking about All In, and we kind of dived into this a little bit. I'm really excited about where Impact Wrestling is at now. And the whole entrance theme that we had going on for you here, the little preview that you caught of Jay Lethal and Ric Flair, the impromptu woo-off, where I believe Jay Lethal, who is a current Ring of Honor world champion, did probably the best Ric Flair impersonation I've ever fucking heard.
He's the king of impersonations. Black
oh,
Machismo,
man.
Baby.
Ooh, yeah, where's the sneak? That was just one of the moments in TNA Impact's, dare I say now, illustrious, somewhat illustrious history. They start a company. We'll get into the history real quick, but just to kind of give it to you, they start off in 2002, and it's what, 2018 now?
Yes, it is.
And for all the doubters and all the haters, they're still going strong. Basically, this episode is going to give you guys a little insight into the past, present, and future of Impact Wrestling, formerly known as TNA, one of my favorite alternatives to WWE's product, even during the bad times, and which we will dive into. So, Jeff, starting off with you, because you're the only one here.
It's true.
Yeah, you're the only one. Well, that was a half-assed Melissa Etheridge. Is that the Melissa Etheridge soundbite?
I think it is. If it's not, it should be right now.
She wants to come in her window.
Does she, though?
Come on inside.
Does she, though? I thought she swung the other way.
Well, you know, women could still.
That's true.
Never mind.
Moving on.
On with the program. TNA, how long have you been watching? What are you aware of?
Since day one. I think it was one of those things.
Day one-ish?
Day one-ish. Day one-ish, yeah. Because, I mean, you think, you know, right after WCW, I was a WCW guy.
Yeah, so me too.
WCW folded, and it's like, shit, dude, all we have is WWE, WWF.
And real quick, let's go into that. And I'd like to do an episode on that, too, to kind of cover that whole thing. But I remember, like, 2001 was a shitty year. You know, you had 9/11 going on. I graduated high school, so I really was opposed to that.
Sure.
You know, I wanted to do the Van Wilder thing and just kind of milk high school forever.
Yes.
But I wasn't stupid, so,
right.
You know, I had to get them good grades and graduate.
Graduate.
Yeah. And it also marked the end of an era in professional wrestling, which to me, it marked the end of the Monday Night Wars, all that. To me, it marked the end of the Attitude Era, which it technically carried on for, what, maybe another year or so.
The invasion angle.
Yeah, the horrible invasion angle. Vince McMahon bought WCW, also purchased ECW, and that was it. And which is kind of cool now because you look back on that now, and I knew this was going to happen. I mean, since when WCW was bought back then, me being so heartbroken, I knew that because what Vince was trying to do was monopolize the wrestling community, the wrestling business, per se.
He killed wrestling, and in its place, sports entertainment.
Right. Which, who gives a fuck about sports entertainment? Like, why are you going to do that? That was just a cheap way for him. Excuse me. These old styles are kicking.
Brought to you by Old Style.
Yeah, right? Old Style Live! Go on and get one tonight! To me, sports entertainment, that's we don't want to hear that shit.
I don't give a shit about sports entertainment.
That's ridiculous. And the only reason Vince did that was so he can get out of testing. Like, okay, wrestling's not... We don't say the F word on JPW, but wrestling is a predetermined, it's entertainment.
Right.
So when he'd go to these different cities, he wouldn't have to deal with the athletic commissions and all that shit. So, and you can tell that a lot of those wrestlers just hate saying that.
They do. And you could tell too, a lot of, and you know what, when they leave WWE, they love saying pro wrestling.
Oh, yeah. And it's great. And you know what? It works a lot. And the perfect example of that was when Alberto Del Rio, a.k.a. Alberto El Patron, left. And, you know, he's kind of a wishy-washy motherfucker now. He also did some time in Impact Wrestling, surprisingly. But at one time,
a lot of people did.
Yeah, yeah. And that's another thing. That's one thing we will get into, the alumni section of Impact Wrestling, formerly known as TNA. But going back to 2001, so WCW had folded. ECW was done. And out of those ashes... Going into 2002, you had Jeff and Jerry Jarrett that started TNA Impact Wrestling, which I think at the time it was just TNA.
Wasn't it? That's like an NWA.
It was TNA. It was NWA sanctioned.
Yes.
So it was like TNA, NWA, TNA Wrestling.
Yeah.
And they used to do weekly pay-per-views on Wednesdays, I believe.
Which was never going to be a model that lasted.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we're gonna go day one-ish, and the haters back then, there were a lot of haters saying that these guys aren't going to succeed, they ain't going to do nothing, which back then they were actually, what they were incorporating was a lot of WCW talent, a lot of the younger talent. Now, they did have guys like Kevin Nash, Scott Hall in the beginning, But they also had a lot of ECW guys. They had Sabu. They had Jerry Lynn. They had, who else did they have from ECW back then?
You said Sabu. They had Jerry Lynn.
Did they have Kid Cash back then?
Sandman.
Yeah, Sandman. Right? Yeah. New Jack.
New Jack, yep. They took New Jack.
Yeah, what they did was they took like ECW and WCW and then a lot of younger talent, like guys that, let's say, were like Elix Skipper, AJ Styles, Christopher Daniels, guys that were at the power plant and stuff that were at the tail end of WCW. And what they did was bring these guys in and tried to spotlight them. You know, it was more of a, did they have the name recognition guys? Yes. But they also, I think they initially were trying to get their own identity with pushing this younger talent.
They ended up, in my opinion, they got a little bit away from it, but they saw the mistakes that WCW made. What were the mistakes that WCW made?
Bad booking. Inmates running the asylum.
And the people that they pushed were over the hill, man.
They were over the hill. And which, I want to get this clear the air real quick, because in a wrestling company, right, wrestling and me and you being wrestling fucking dorks, nostalgia is essential.
It's key.
It is fucking key. If you don't have that, and that's basically what WWE is operating on now. Mm. Like when they did the whole Goldberg thing coming back, it was like, holy shit.
Which I fucking love, though.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. I love it too. But you need that.
Yeah.
But you don't need to run a company on a bunch of older guys, which is WCW's old mentality was like, hey, we'll just buy all the older dudes. Yep. And it worked for a little while. It kind of gave a fresh place, you know, fresh matchups, storylines and all that. But it kind of wore its course. And to the point where, you know, we all know where that ended up. And TNA, I think they were trying to mix that a little bit, which is good, because the legends do have a place, whether they're wrestling, managing, making appearances, or whatever, because they will always get that pop and always get guys like me and you to be like, hell yeah, like, I miss this dude on TV, like, where the hell has he been? I need more. You know, Raven's another guy, too, that back in the day, and we'll get to him here momentarily. But that's essentially what they started off as. And they also started off as a four-sided ring. For those of you out there that think that TNA or Impact Wrestling started off as a six-sided ring, that's not true. They started off in the Asylum, which is located in, what, Tennessee, I believe?
Yes, it is.
Some fairgrounds, right?
Yeah.
Very famous asylum, which actually is, we'll do a little news bite right here, is going to be the host of the NWA's 70th anniversary.
Rematch
with Cody Rhodes and Nick Aldis for the NWA World's Heavyweight Championship.
I kind of wish I could go to that show.
Oh, hell yeah. That would be awesome.
That'd be great.
And you know that's what's going to be booked, because that's what's being advertised. Mm-hmm. And if you're, you know, just a casual fan, you don't get it, then I'm sorry. But that's what's going to happen. But I'm looking on Twitter. You can follow us at JPDub Podcast. I'm a big retweet and informational guy on there. Very interactive on Twitter. So hit us up. And you can also follow yourself, Jeff, right?
Jeff Webb 1993.
Follow right now. 1993. It's when
I
picked up in utero.
Now.
Do it now. I'm out here. Kill me. I'm out here now. Oh. Who told you could eat my cookies?
Who Put told that you? Cookie down.
No. He's like, what? Phil Hartman, remember? He's like, oh, your mom's cookies are delicious.
Put that cookie down now.
Who told you you can eat my cookies? Anyways, what was I getting at?
Something about cookies, right?
Oh, yeah. I think it was something about cookies. What was going to happen, I just saw Nick Aldis tweet today that he's fighting Doug Williams coming up here very soon, and he's putting online his rematch against Cody. But you know, I like booking wise, you know that's not
It's going to be the rematch.
That's just getting people to watch that. And
Cody Rhodes, all this, it's going to be that show right there. You're getting Cody Rhodes on the NWA 70th show. That's going to put them back on the fucking map.
It is. And here it's the start of something for them, because the NWA doesn't have, like we talked about before in here, they don't have an actual roster. No. I kind of like that. And they're also bringing what is it? The North American title, I believe.
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
I think.
I'm not confusing that with the NXT, or is that the NXT one?
No, because the NXT just had, all they have is the UK, and then, do they have the North American?
Yeah, they have a North American one. I think that's the one that, what's his nuts, Prince Puma just won.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
But the NWA has another championship that's somewhat like that, so you guys can Google that and correct me, you know, my wrongdoings. Blame Old Style, not me.
It's Old Style.
Not the juice. I am the all-knowing until I drink. But they are introducing another old school title back.
Yes.
And for people that have like getting on the NWA, like, hey, all we got is the world championship.
What did we just talk about? Nostalgia.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
It's going to kill it.
It's going to be awesome. Yeah. And the way that they book and the way that Billy Corgan and Dave Lagana are running things and networking with people.
Yes.
You know, if you don't believe me, look at All In, which was a huge success.
Great for Billy Corgan,
too. I think everybody involved, just, I know pro wrestling tees themselves did $500,000.
In a weekend.
Yeah. And the pay-per-view did about the same, I believe. And that's not including some numbers that.
I saw Cody Rhodes, you know, he talked at the Ring of Honor before All In.
Mm-hmm.
So we sold over 10,000 tickets for the show.
Right.
And then Overflow, we ended up doing the convention. And then at the convention, we sold another 5,000 tickets. Mm-hmm. Sold out. Both of those. The thirst is there, my friend.
Yeah.
The thirst is there.
Yeah, for sure.
And the thing, you know, you mentioned about how NWA doesn't actually have a roster.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get back on that when we're talking about Impact.
The world is their roster.
It's not a fucking bad thing in today's age.
No, it's not. And that's what not to cut you off, Billy Corgan, for those people that have hated, I know we're doing a TNA / Impact episode here, but for those of you that don't know, the NWA and TNA have a very rich history, and they very much correlate with each other.
Yes.
Billy Corgan owning the NWA and what he's doing right now, he set out when he bought him a year ago, said he had a 20-year plan, a vision for the NWA, and it was different from what everybody else was doing. And I had seen him on like Joe Rogan's podcast and numerous other podcasts like Sam Roberts, everything.
This isn't a fucking pet project for him.
No, he is, and we've talked about it, and when we've had Big Ed the Assassin on, and Ed didn't realize how much of a wrestling mark and how much of a wrestling mind, not just a mark, but a mind that Billy is for the business.
Yep.
And that's why I say shame, hey, on Dixie Carter and Impact when they had the chance for Billy to take over, because he could have done great things with them. And same thing with ECW. But I believe everything happens for a purpose, and him getting the NWA was probably the greatest thing that could ever happen.
Would you say that it's his Siamese dream?
Yes, I would say it's his Pet Shop Boys project. it's super great what he's doing, because he knows how to build these stories, and he knew that wrestling and the way media and entertainment is being consumed in this day and age, he knew how it's being consumed, so he's utilizing that in a pro wrestling format. That's why they don't have your standard, like, I think the only thing that's been super different and original from WWE or your traditional wrestling in the last, we'll say 10, 15 years has been Lucha Underground.
Yep.
Because the way they've produced their product, it's totally different. And guys like Impact and even NWA and Billy and everybody has taken notice, and WWE. They've taken parts from that and using it now in their product. But I think what Billy's doing is, it's so super cool, and it builds anticipation. You know, it's like they don't have, like, you never know who's going to pop up or where the NWA is going to be, you know, and it kind of brings back like this, it's bringing back the territory thing, because the NWA, and for people who don't know, territory, as much as WWE, aka We Were Entertainment, would like you to believe that territories had died, they never really died. Like, we'll go in the bigger market, guys. Like, yeah, old school NWA, which really became WCW, which Turner Network bought.
WCW.
Yeah, WCW. But we're talking about all these independent promotions that you don't know about that are producing some of the greatest athletes that are signed to WWE right now, or Ring of Honor, or Impact. Territories have never died. They've just kind of been silenced, you know, by TV wrestling. And a lot of these guys now, with the improvements in technology and everything, a lot of these independent organizations are putting out their own product on TV, whether it's just a stream on Twitch or YouTube or whatever it is.
And you just set it right there, right? Because that's what ends up being the difference nowadays, is that NWA can exist in 2018 because of things like Twitch,
right,
YouTube, all these things. People can go, I mean, you can make a fucking app and put it on Roku. I mean, Ring of Honor's planning on doing it.
Yep.
You know, and you can have these things to where you don't, I don't need a TV deal.
Right.
So I've been saying to people forever, I'm like, man, I hated that WWE went to, they signed this huge ass deal with Fox because I want them to just go completely on the network.
Right. Because then they can do whatever they want.
They can do whatever they want. They don't need, you know, of course, with WWE, I'm not even going to talk about that because it's going to have to be PG, whatever, because it's a family thing. But NWA can do whatever the fuck they want.
Right.
Have it be
show
an
color
MA-rated thing on this app, whatever it is. That's awesome. This is the perfect time for Billy Corgan to be shooting his shot right now.
And I, the thing I miss about pro wrestling is we all know what's the deal with pro wrestling, right?
Yeah.
But I miss, even back in the day, I miss like the big bout feel. Like all in, that whole pay-per-view felt like
it felt like a big fucking deal.
More than any UFC thing I've ever, you know, anything, any realistic fight, you know, anything that's not predetermined or scripted or whatever. It felt like the old NWA did.
Yes.
When, you know, you had Ric Flair going, or Harley Race, or whoever it was, going all around with that belt.
Dusty Rhodes.
Yeah, the American Dream, son of a plumber. Oh, it's the end of summer. I had to get a little poetic on that, like John Morrison.
It's okay, I'm hard. Great job.
I'm hard for you, Danny. I really, and you guys comment on this if you think I'm wrong. I mean, because I've seen a lot of comments myself on online about this, about how it's sucking back in the old school fans, because it's more about, yes, do they have the storyline there? Yes. But it's not some super saturated soap opera bullshit, you know? It's like they tell a story, yes, because at the end of the day, it's what wrestling's about. You have to know who the protagonist and the antagonist is, and you have to know why they're wanting to kick each other's ass.
Yes.
And I think the NWA is, that old school formula still works really well in today's day and age, you know, and they are the best example of that. I mean, look at the Cody Nick Aldis fight, how that was so old school built, and it made me just fucking.
Did you mark out?
Yeah, I marked out right on my zipper line.
Yes.
I came in my
pants. Haven't zipped back up yet.
He's like all out.
Yeah, I'm all out, baby. Fuck all in. I'm all out.
Yeah. But long story short, NWA is doing great, and I'm super excited for what they're going to be doing in the future. Now, getting back to on the subject matter, though, NWA at one point in time was the sanctioning partner for a fledgling TNA Wrestling, which was owned by Jeff and Jerry Jarrett, who were kind of plagued with production costs and all that. So to kind of move through the story a little bit quicker, what happened was they were putting on these weekly pay-per-views. And they were getting some buys, you know. But, I mean, obviously they're not doing numbers they want. They needed better production value, yada, yada, yada. So they turned to Dixie Carter, who was a wrestling fan. You know, she wanted to do something in the pro wrestling industry. Her dad, the Carters, who own, some kind of Texas oil company or something like that, invest in TNA, which essentially, and then that's when I think Jerry left, Jeff Jarrett's dad, and went to WWE as a producer of some sorts.
Yes.
And then, so basically you had Dixie Carter and Jeff running the show. Now, they went from doing that to, I remember also them being on, what was it, Fox Sports Net?
Yeah, for a little while they were.
They were doing that, and that's where I knew about the pay-per-views, but I'd never really gotten a chance to watch much of them. So my first kind of experience with them was like my buddy saying, hey, man, like, dude, check out Fox Sports, like TNA. It's like you see guys doing some unbelievable shit, which at the time they were. I mean, you got to think they had like Daniels and AJ Styles. You had Kazarian. You had Elix Skipper, who I'll never forget. You know, that pay-per-view where he did the Hurricane run off the running off the top of the steel cage, just six sides of steel, and doing a Hurricane Rana to one of the dudes from, was it America's Most Wanted? I don't know which one it was. It was either James Storm or
yeah,
the other guy. Everybody that went to WWE and everybody forgot. But you had athletes like that, and they were doing things.
They pushed the envelope.
They did push the envelope, and they were a great alternative. And at that time, they had went to a six-sided ring, which was very – I mean, in Mexico, you would always seen that. The six sides – it was a very traditional thing in, like, Lucha Libre.
Right.
TNA had incorporated that into their product, and it gave them somewhat of a better identity, you know, like, hey – like, wow, this is cool. This, you would think guys can do more shit off of this, and they had better concepts for matches, you know. I love the Six Sides of Steel. Like, yes. That's still – going back to episode 6, which you guys can check out, was a 666 Sides of Steel. They had good shit like that. They had the King of the Mountain matches. What's some other good stuff? Raven's Funhouse or whatever, which is – WWE tried to copy when Jericho fought Ambrose like a year or two ago.
Even going more recently, we're talking about with Matt Hardy, the Final Deletion.
Yeah.
TNA, Impact, they've always been pushing the envelope, man. They've been doing crazy shit that you don't expect.
They have, but and TNA was great. They built a lot of momentum, right? They got to, I believe in 2005, 2006, we're going on Spike TV.
Yep.
It's a big deal. They had secured Sting. So you got a guy who's already a huge TV baby face.
Which, like, Sting, the biggest sign for TNA.
Yeah. Probably ever.
Will be ever.
It has to be. Because, I mean, Kurt Angle going there, yes. I would have to put Kurt Angle second.
Exactly. He has to be second.
Because a lot of guys, when you think of, like, TNA, like, Kurt Angle, for sure.
I think top five. If I'm thinking top five.
And then AJ Styles. And that sucks for AJ because he was the homegrown product. But
yeah. And he, man... But that's the thing. I mean, you're talking about top five TNA guys. You think, you know, Kurt Angle spent more time in TNA than he did WWE.
10 years.
Yeah.
Yep.
You talk Sting, Kurt Angle, AJ Styles.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I mean, who else do you go for those last two on the top five? I'd say Abyss.
Yeah.
Probably
Abyss. For sure.
He's been there
Abyss.
A long ass time. And then obviously if you're going to go Jeff Jarrett.
Yeah. You would have to.
Yeah.
And you know what pissed me off though? Because I was never a huge Jeff Jarrett guy. Ever.
Even back in WCW?
Dude, yeah.
Really?
Okay. No. I mean, when he hit Beetlejuice with that guitar, I was like, Slam Nuts? That's who you call Slap Nuts? Hey, you, Slam Nuts? And he hits him with the, knocks him the fuck out with a guitar. That was great. But yeah, never really a big fan. I mean, even though he's like a multi-time NWA World's Champion, which is why he came out at All In. And did
now
you notice?
WWE Hall of Famer.
Yeah, that was super surreal.
Yes.
I was thrown out there on Twitter when that happened. I was trying to get everybody in the JP Woo and beyond to chant TNA.
Yeah.
There, because as a wrestling fan, make your statement, make your mark. Like, you want to, everybody wants to try to be an asshole and overtake Raw, okay? Well, we're going to chant CM Punk. They don't give a shit about that.
No.
That doesn't mean shit because it's been done. But when you have something like that, like with Jeff Jarrett on there,
yeah.
And if that whole crowd would have, because you can't ignore that. And WWE is finally not ignoring TNA only because they think the TNA brand is dead because it's been bought and it's Impact now and whatever. It's
Impact is the comeback king.
Yes. They're finally starting to acknowledge them and work with. If you guys want to watch anything we're talking about today, you can find on the Global Wrestling Network, which is available on like Xbox. There's an app on your phone, your tablet. You can get all the old Impact stuff. You can get weekly episodes of Impact, just like WWE does with SmackDown and Raw. And you can also get, there's a lot of interesting stuff on there as far as like, they have a Bret Hart documentary on there.
Wow.
Which was, I thought was really weird. It's not the Wrestling with Shadows one either. It's,
yeah,
it's something different. I had it for the first couple months, and then, you know, finances, life happens. But I'm really pumped to get back on there. I need to. I'm currently a member of New Japan and Ring of Honor, what they're doing. But the Global Wrestling Network has a lot to offer you. If you guys, especially you WWE dweebs that are out there, they're like, oh, Samoa Joe and, you know, even
man,
Sting, Kurt
Samoa
Angle,
yeah.
And all this, you know, all these guys. There's Eric Young. Who else are we going to talk about that's in WWE now? Bobby Roode.
Bobby Roode was a big
Zelina one. Vega.
Zelina Vega, yes.
Man, there's the list really goes on and on. If you want to go to 205 Live, you're a 205 Live guy, aren't you?
No.
No?
I do not. Well, It's okay.
I mean, I'm not really
It's
either.
Okay.
They fucked it up in the beginning, and it...
I hated watching them just fuck people like Neville and Austin Aries.
Yeah. And Neville's officially... Here's a news update. He's officially done with them now.
Thank God.
Yeah.
Thank God. He's going to have a better chance going somewhere else.
He'll go to New Japan, I think.
And he'll do great in New Japan. Mm-hmm. His style fits perfectly with New Japan. We're talking about a guy like Austin Aries,
back to ICW.
Though. Yeah, right. We're talking about a guy like Austin Aries, though.
Jesus.
Impact champ. Look what happens. He's marooned on 205 Live.
I remember shit my pants when he was NXT and they announced him. I was like, holy fuck.
It's a big deal.
It was huge. You know, and then they didn't do shit. He got hurt. He had that injury with his eye.
Yes.
And, you know, he was doing commentary and he was killing it on commentary.
He's just good.
He's just good. He was much like a young, I hate to say young, but CM Punk before him.
Yeah.
He was kind of put in the same position, and where CM Punk was talking trash, like, hey, I'm the best on the mic at that table in the ring. Austin Aries was very much the same.
Yes.
And then he was cut out of the WrestleMania DVD when they had probably the best match of the whole damn show.
You're right.
Going back to that, but the Global Wrestling Network, you guys, check it out. You can get it on any platform, pretty much. I think they have like a free trial you can do, and there's different pay tiers, but it's definitely worth checking out. All of TNA Impact Asylum stuff, all of their Impact Wrestling from back in the day is on there, and they're constantly adding stuff from. And the other cool thing, which I think they kind of started more than anybody else, and why they call it the Global Wrestling Network, is they add their partners' content on there, too. So you can get stuff from, like, Pro Wrestling Noah and, you know, ICW, all these different promotions that you can see guys that are currently on the roster and even past stars from Impact that are on there. So go check that out. But, yeah, so getting back to the timeline, we're going Impact Wrestling starts out on Spike, right? Huge bang. You know, they had guys like Sting, Rhino, who was fresh off a WWE release, and a championship run. I believe he won the belt at Bound for Glory 2005 or 2006. So you can fact check me like Trump on that shit. It's very big. He's very beautiful.
It's huge.
It's yeah. I like that. Can you do that one more time?
It's huge.
Thank you.
It's tremendous.
It's tremendous. So they had a lot of momentum going for him, and those early years of Impact on Spike were just the shit.
They had me thinking that maybe this is going to be the spiritual successor to WCW.
I thought it was too. I thought it was like, okay, well, here's the outcast from WCW, yes. ECW, and
thank God we get some competition.
Right, right. Because when WWE bought everything, it was fucking scary.
Dark days, man.
Yeah, like what. I mean, I didn't really know what was going to happen. None of us really did, but you knew it was bad.
And I think that kind of shows, I mean, even today, right? Mm-hmm. We got really no... I mean, we're starting to get more competition now from Ring of Honor. People are starting to realize New Japan.
But it took, like,
decade.
A little over a decade, you know?
I mean, come on. We thought that, you know, WCW... The Monday Night Wars were amazing because mm-hmm. there was competition.
Right.
Both shows, I mean...
And there were deep pockets.
There were deep pockets. Both shows were amazing because mm-hmm. they were competing.
Right.
I mean, everything that was going on with the NWO, everything that was going on with The Rock and Stone Cold,
mm-hmm.
fucking fantastic shit. WWE buys, WCW, competition goes away, sports entertainment, whatever the vision Vince McMahon wanted becomes the reality.
Right. And it was bullshit.
AKA him getting to do whatever he wants to Trish Stratus. Yeah. You bastard!
Right,
fuck
while his
you.
Wife
I'm
is
jealous. Yeah, right. Come on.
Yeah, you know, and to put it in,
I'm jealous.
Perspective. Me too. Put in a perspective for you guys out there listening. That's like McDonald's going out and saying, "Okay, we're buying Burger King and Wendy's."
It was that
and
big.
It was, and there's no one else left.
No.
And it took 10, 15 years for a viable group of organizations to actually be able to say, "Hey, we can put up a fight." And I think it even took longer than that. I think it really took for All In a couple weekends ago to happen to say that, hey, wake up, people. There is other shit. Come back.
It was a defining moment. You're
right.
It was. You're absolutely right.
Come back. And not only are they saying for them and for, you know, obviously they're not a promotion themselves. It's Cody and the Young Bucks putting this on, but they're saying, hey, there is Impact. There is Lucha. There is Ring of Honor. There's New Japan. There's Pro Wrestling Guerrilla. And the list goes on and on and on. You know, we're here to talk to you tonight about Impact Wrestling and the rise, the meteoric rise back to where the promised land, which I'm so happy about because I've been one of those guys that had stuck with it. So getting back to our timeline here, TNA was great from, I would say, and we're going to shorten everything up here just for time's sake. We're not going to dive in, you know, this ain't no Bruce Pritchard podcast here. We ain't got 3 hours.
I love you.
I love you. Do I really?
No!
I'm just joking, Bruce. You got a good show. I hope you listen to JP Dub at some point. Wake up, wake up, wake up. Anyways, back to what I was saying. Impact was really good from when they first debuted on Spike to about 2009. Like after I had been to, and we were talking about this last week, I went to Bound for Glory 2008 when they went to Chicago. To me, that was like, okay, holy shit. You're doing Chicago. It's a huge wrestling market. They're bringing in, they had guys like Christian Cage, Samoa Joe. They had Sting. You had Mick Foley, who had just came in at the time. Jeff Jarrett versus Kurt Angle. You had Mongo, which, I mean, he was just there for, you know, the Chicago end of it. The Dudleys. And the list goes on and on of talent that they had. Because the thing is with Impact / TNA Wrestling, they've always been stacked with talent. That to me was probably about 2009 was like the last of like, okay, they were the number one alternative. They were considered the number two company as far as wrestling in America. And then they, you know, they make the announcement and me being the fanboy I am, you know, 2010 comes around and Hulk Hogan had signed with Impact Wrestling, and I was like, holy shit.
No one expected that.
No one expected that, and it felt like a WCW thing, kind of a little bit all over again, because it's like, okay, he's done. He had his second run with Hulkamania and WWE, and it was great. Did a lot of business, made a lot of money, and to see him now in a different promotion that has absolutely, and back then, WWE, like, you did not acknowledge TNA. You did not fucking
acknowledge. Up until about a year ago, they still didn't.
Right, exactly. So Hogan comes in, and it's like, man, they're doing this press conference and all this shit, and it's like, oh, my God. And they're talking about going to Monday nights. And it's like, here we go again. And I'm getting super pumped. Yeah, I'm getting super pumped. But then all of a sudden, they go to Monday nights. They bring out, like, the Nasty Boys. Which, you know, no offense to Nasty Boys. I somewhat do like them. And, you know, they actually did a autograph for the JP Dub, so no disrespect to him, but it's like when you're trying to pull something off that big, I'm sorry, but fans don't want to see the fucking Nasty Boys coming out. Or, you know, the only cool thing was you had X-Pac, aka Sean Waltman, 123 Kid, whatever you want to call him, and Scott Hall were in the crowd, and they did tease like an NWO kind of Wolfpack thing because Nash was already there. You had Hogan, you had Bischoff, who had came in with Hogan. So we thought we were going to get like an NWO reunion, which we kind of did. And, you know, everything played out. Long story short, Hogan did end up kind of going heel and forming the Immortal faction. But he did. TNA was riding on such a high fucking wave at that point. And when Hogan came in, and I've heard stories that Hogan said, well, you know, everybody thinks I was the be-all, end-all, and I wasn't. He's like, I still had to answer to people. He's like, did I make some changes? Yeah. So when him and Bischoff come in, right? They go from a six-sided ring back to the four-sided ring, which immediately pissed me off because I'm like, okay, there's one of your identities gone. You know, it's like when Michael Jackson turned white. You know, it's like, who the fuck are you? Yeah, that kind of soured a taste in my mouth. And then not only did the Nasty Boys come in, you had guys like Val Venus.
Val Venus.
So hard trying to recreate the Monday Night Wars with, you couldn't do it bringing in those guys. And even the guys they did bring in, when they brought in like a Rob Van Dam, who at the time was a huge, probably the most sought after free agent, because he wasn't signed with WWE. He was taking care of his wife, who was sick for like a few years.
Which, by the way, we are trying to get him for an interview.
Really?
This podcast. Yes, we are.
Yeah.
That is something we're trying to do.
We're going to do.
We're going to do it.
We're
going to
do it. RVD 420. Gold. Did you see what I did there? You saw it. Well, they had, you know, and that was cool when RVD came in, you know, and he, like, him versus Sting, that was like a whole new matchup.
But what does all this shit remind you of that they're doing at this point in time?
Well, at that point in time, it reminds me of WWE trying to do an invasion.
For me, it reminded me of late stage WCW.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I get, yep.
And it's like, dude,
a little trying too hard.
Yes.
And not having all the pieces in place, which is what we're going to get to. So they're doing that, right? They do this for Hogan and Bischoff around till what? Like, when did he come back to WWE? 2015, yes. I think. So like a good 4 or 5 years, however long it was. And they were just WWE light. They went from being the alternative to the fucking, like, who, what we got going on here? Yep. And everybody and every smart mark out there, and you guys know who the hell you are, because some of you probably are still lingering out there like a couple of dingleberries. You still hating. And I don't get it. I weathered the storm. I stuck through it. Everybody talked about, well, were they going to sell the company? And did they go through some financial shit? Yeah, they did, because at the end of the day, Dixie Carter's dad ended up pulling out, and where she had to fund it herself. And did she have money? Yes. But she wasn't loaded like her dad, who's a what, like an oil tycoon or wherever the hell he is. And they were putting out some really bad stuff.
For a long time there.
A long time. But there, you know, there were, when they, some of the smart things they did that people looking back now, maybe they can relate to what I'm going to say about when they broke up Beer Money. Mm. And they wanted to make single stars out of James Storm and Bobby Roode, which they did with both. And I think both benefited greatly from it.
Yeah.
Even though now Bobby Roode's kind of lost in the mix.
We're not going to talk about that, but my God, Bobby, you should have stayed with Impact.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that whole thing when he left, I mean, I get it.
That's just a dork in a Ric Flair robe with a smile. That's all Bobby Roode is now.
Yeah. Glorious! No one gives in, no one buys in, so I'm a failure. Yeah.
And
no offense,
it.
Bobby, because we fucking love you.
But we love you to death. You're an amazing talent, but what the fuck is going
on? I would
on
have
with
your rather,
working?
Yeah, I would have rather, like, seen him go to ROH or something.
Oh my God, could you imagine?
Yeah, that would be the shit. There would be a lot of good matchups.
Finish his career,
and he was
in
great
ROH.
In NXT.
He was great in NXT.
But we all know that story. You go to the main
roster.
Everybody's
great in NXT, and then they get fucked in the main roster.
And you get Benoit, you know? I think that's, is that a term?
I think that's a verb, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, you're right.
You get killed. That's so shitty. I'm a family guy, so I apologize. Pajazz. Kiss it. Kiss it. Pajazz.
Give you the crossface.
Yeah. The crippler crossface. Like, I can't go on with that. I can't. Yeah, it's just bad.
And we're going to cut that there.
We're going to cut it. It's bad for business. So Impact had a lot going wrong, you know? And everybody had kept talking. Every year, they were hurting for money. All the dirt sheets were saying, hey, Impact's going out of business, or WWE's looking at buying them. Yada, yada, yada. This, and that. And, you know, it's been since day one, they were going to go out of business, not succeed. But here we are, what, 2002 they started, their roots were laid, and it's 2018. Do the math. I think besides Ring of Honor, they're the only other company that started after the purchase of WCW and ECW that have been around the longest.
And you know what? The thing about both of them is ROH. I think that arguably, and I think that most people would agree with this, ROH is firmly number two.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks to the Bullet Club, thanks to their alliance with NJPW.
Smart booking, man.
Smart
and here's
booking.
The thing is, TNA used to be with NJPW. If you go on Global Wrestling Network, you go on there and watch, they have matches with Shinsuke Nakamura.
Mm.
In Impact Wrestling. And who's the other guy? The other, who's the big, big dude in NJPW? Like, they're John Cena.
Kazuchika Okada?
No, not Okada. The other one. Ishimori?
Is that?
Is he like the Rock guy? You know what I'm saying? He's got the long hair. He's kind of built like he was the IWGP champ forever before I think Okada
right.
beat him.
Yeah, Okada took over. Yeah, you're right.
You can catch him in Impact. They had a working relationship with them, and you know, you have to go dig on the internet to find out what happened with that, but that kind of faltered, and they had lost some shit. You know, they were doing really fucking bad, and then they try. Here we go. We're getting up. Hogan leaves in like 2015, whenever it was. They try to somewhat bring the old school fans back. They bring back they announced they're bringing back the six-sided ring. They're starting to do business deals with like Pro Wrestling Noah, and I believe the AAA thing I don't think came until a little bit later. They bring Jeff Jarrett in for the Hall of Fame. They bring him back. And they start the whole thing with the Global Force Wrestling, which was Jeff Jarrett's huge flop of a fucking promotion.
Yes.
And somehow they Global Wrestling Productions or whatever their entity is entitled now, it still exists. And he's like just promoting other shit. It's not like any his own promotion because they fucking failed. They start doing that shit. Then they move on to where, okay, Jeff Jarrett's, you know, he's back in the hot seat again. Meaning he's running the company again. Because right. At the end of the day, we shoot to, what was it? Impact had tried to rebrand itself to get a little more old school. Went back to six-sided ring. They ended up bringing in some younger talents. You had like your Drew Galloways, guys like that. Who was the world champion at one point? Eddie Edwards, former Ring of Honor champ. And tag team champ also. They were doing stuff like that. But it was in then you also had guys like EC3, who was probably one of their he was like their Goldberg story. He's probably one of their biggest other than AJ Styles build up talents, you know, like homegrown talents. They took that guy and they made him into something. And then Dixie Carter finally sells out to a who are they on now? By now.
They're owned by Anthem.
Anthem Sports. Yeah, Anthem Sports, a Canadian-based group out of Canada.
95% majority. Dixie still owns 5%.
Does she really?
Yeah, she still owns. She's a minority owner at 5%.
Really? Yeah. I didn't think she had anything to do with it anymore.
Yeah, she still does.
No shit. So, yeah, you have that happen. And then Jeff Jarrett comes back. And they do all that stuff. And then they rebrand themselves as Global Force. Which I did not like. I was like, man, they should have just stuck with Impact, you know, because it's still kind of somewhat like name recognition, and it's not that much of a change. But then they changed it to Global Force. They went to Green Ropes, and they brought in a bunch of, like, other guys, that some younger talents, but not all of them were good, you know? Like, I think the only one who stuck around from that was, like, Falaba.
Still there.
Yeah, who's still there. And I like what he's doing. I like what he's doing with KM right now. And then they go through some shit where Jarrett's, you know, he's kind of fucked up or having problems, whatever he's going through, and they end up firing his ass from his own company they founded. Like, how much of a kick in the balls is that?
You know? Harvey Weinstein.
Yeah, he did, except he wasn't raping.
Yeah, you know, it's just a slight difference.
So kudos to you for that.
Yeah, good job, Jeff. We're proud of you.
And then he ends up, the big shocker, he's in the WWE Hall of Fame. Like, wow, dude. Like, huge.
I didn't expect that at all.
No, nobody did. I don't think anybody saw that fucking coming. And if you say you did, you're a fucking liar. That ends up happening. Anthem, the first year, you know, that they owned the company, kind of went through some humps with, as far as with the Global Force branding and all that. And they get out of that. And I think this past year, though, which is what we're wanting to get to, Impact has done more so than ever to bring back that old school mentality of, hey, we are another viable commodity in the professional wrestling industry.
Thank you, Don Callis.
Yes, and Don Callis, who's the other guy? Scott D'Amore.
Yes.
Those guys were appointed to run the company, and they couldn't have done a better job. You know, they established relationships with AAA, which I think Jeff Jarrett already kind of had in store, but then it became more of, okay, we're going to get the Lucha Underground guys. Because I used to always say, like, man, wouldn't that be crazy if, like, fucking Pentagon showed up or something? Lo and behold, he does, and becomes fucking Impact World Champion. So for those of you guys out there that haven't watched, you can catch Impact Wrestling. It's still on Thursday nights on Pop TV. If you can't do that and you can't find Pop TV or you don't get it on your cable network, go to Global Wrestling Network, download that. All the new episodes will be up there. I think they're up there like maybe a week after they air. It's a great place to catch everything. They're getting ready to do Bound for Glory in New York, which is huge.
Where do you know exactly the venue they're at?
I, off the top of my head right now, I don't know.
Let's look it up. I will look it up.
Check it out, and I'll keep rambling.
Please.
But the thing is, what Impact has done is they have finally went out and said, okay, we're not going to focus on all the older guys, because that's what they were bringing in for a while. And yeah, like we were talking about earlier, let's a list of guys who have been in Impact Wrestling that are either WWE Hall of Famers or just pure unadulterated fucking wrestling legends, like Hulk Hogan, the biggest name ever in wrestling, Ric Flair, second biggest name ever,
Mick Foley,
Sting, Kurt Angle, Rob Van Dam, any guy in ECW, name it, whereas New Jack, Sandman, Tommy Dreamer, Raven.
The Hardys.
The Road Warriors, dude. The last match, I think the Road Warriors did a TNA stint. Well, I know they came back on Raw and fought Kane and RVD.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that was after or not. So you guys have to fact check me.
The biggest last match, Randy Savage before his
Randy Savage, yeah, that's right. Team with AJ Styles and Jeff Hardy.
Yes.
Yep, I go against the Kings of Wrestling.
Yes.
So another huge one. And man, Randy looked bad.
Yeah, he did.
That was pretty sad. Another last match, Mr. Perfect.
Yes.
Kurt Hennig, Impact Wrestling. Chris Candido.
God.
You know, a lot of guys, dude, I mean, the Young Bucks.
Yeah.
Generation Me. I was watching those guys. That's how I got hooked on those guys, was finding out about them through TNA Wrestling when they were having matches against, like, Motor City Machine Guns and shit. Alex Shelley and Chris Sabin. And I was like, holy shit, what is going on?
Ultimately, you know why – this is just my opinion. You know why Impact Wrestling is going to succeed going forward? I'll tell you. It's because they don't have the extreme strict contractual obligations that WWE does.
Right.
You see people like Pentagon – doing All In. You see people on there. I mean, Abyss goes to indie shows. We talked about that last week all the time.
Yeah, and that's kudos to them, because we were talking earlier before we went on air about how Impact fucked up when the Hardys went to WWE.
Yes.
They all knew they were going back. Wasn't going to be able to do the Broken Hardy gimmick, which was super over.
Like the most over gimmick in all of wrestling.
All of wrestling, for sure. And at that time, too, and I think from what I understand, Jeff Jarrett was, like, the one spearheading, like, hey, like, telling Ed Nordholm, who is the guy who owns Anthem, hey, man, you can't let him walk away with this. Like, this is ours. And it kind of fucked him. And then, you know, you got the Hardys and Rebby Sky blasting them everywhere. And it's just, it's like, you guys already have a bad name for yourselves with the wrestling community. You need to not fucking do that anymore. And they did, dude.
Well, I think that I think that maybe they learned from it.
Because they did.
I think they did.
Because, and they let up.
You know what happens when you got somebody like Pentagon or Tessa Blanchard going to something like All In?
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? That brings name recognition back to Impact.
Yep.
They're advertising.
Right.
They go out, they make their money, they do their shows, they come back to Impact. They do their show in the Impact Zone, which I think that's, they're still doing Impact Zone shows, right?
Yeah, they do Impact Zone. They're doing Universal. All over. Like, they're going, they're going to be in Mexico City, I think.
It's fucking cool.
This is huge.
That's a big deal.
Yeah.
And you know what? You got these guys, and they're big names. They were big names on the indie circuit. I mean, I told you, the first time I saw Sammy Callahan was at an AEW show. Then after that,
Sammy Callahan is killing.
He's amazing.
Dude. He's fucking killing it. Like, and we'll run through real quick people who I believe that are killing it right now for Impact and giving them the momentum that they deserve. Pentagon.
Yes.
Rey Fénix, you know, a.k.a. the Lucha Bros.
Right there.
Cage. John Morrison, a.k.a. Johnny Mundo.
Johnny Impact.
Johnny Impact. I hate that, though. I hate it. It's like, it reminds me of, like, Johnny Nitro, you know? It's like,
Johnny Nitro.
Just use Johnny Mundo, man. Yeah. Like, what the fuck? Maybe AAA is like, oh, we ain't giving you that bone.
Yes.
Who else do we got? I think OVE and Sammy Callahan. Yes.
Moose
fucking killing it. Austin Aries fucking came back and I'm so super proud and impressed with, like, how he took it when he came back and just took that ball and ran with it. And I think more so than a lot of people has been a huge reason why people are tuning in. You know, like, holy shit. Like, Austin Aries is the shit. Yeah. And we're giving him this opportunity, and he's ran with it, man. He's had some great matches.
Outside of 205 Live.
Yeah.
He showed it.
LAX and the storyline that they've been going through, man, that is huge. And it's all culminating at Bound for Glory. You're going to have Conan and Santana and Ortiz versus King and Hernandez and Homicide.
You know what we didn't even mention?
What's that?
We talk about the WWE doing this women's revolution. You know who started? TNA was the
TNA
one that
Impact.
Started good women's wrestling.
That's exactly with the Knockouts division.
Knockouts was good women's wrestling.
Yes. It was great. You had Awesome Kong, you had Gail Kim, you had the Beautiful People, you had Roxy LeBeau, all kinds of women that came through there. And great matches. I mean, the shit, even when they had, even in their sour years, when Hogan was like around supposedly running things in there, you had, who's a really hot blonde? Oh, gosh, she just came back and she was a part of like the Dollhouse when Billy Corgan was there.
Oh, man.
She's super hot. She was in that Will Ferrell movie where she gets nailed by the basketball. You know what I'm talking about? Damn it. How can I not think of this? Maybe because I got to pee really bad in old stuff.
God, me too. I'm dying right now.
Are you dying?
Yeah, yeah,
me too.
It's great.
I'm sitting here rubbing my dick. You're probably thinking, like, what's he doing?
I get it. I love Impact. I understand.
Yeah, yeah. Impact's the shit. So we're going to pause for commercial break. You gonna do sex to me?